everybody doing? About as miserable as ever. How are you, sir? Things going well? Very good. They breaking you in properly? You might as well know that's going to happen, don't you? Just thought I'd let you know. I'm praying for you. ask any one of us and we'll tell you. The best answer is yes, dear. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so very much again for this day. And certainly, God, we pray that we would hear your voice and that we would follow your will. And certainly, God, we pray that we will remember obedience is the key. Teach us, Lord, to listen. Teach us, Lord, and help us to learn. And teach us, Lord, that you are the leader. And we are the follower. Again, God, we pray for clarity. We pray, certainly, God, that we would live consecrated lives and that we would know the connection that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be a community of believers. And we'll all come up together to your glory and to your honor. And God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, your favor toward us. And Lord, we offer our praise unto you, for we know that you inhabit it, you love it, you feel some kind of way about it when we praise you. And we want it to be genuine. We want it to be true. We pray, God, these prayers because we have a history with you, that you hear and answer our prayers. We can testify, and we do declare that if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and God, we thank you for that. You could have left us a long time ago, and no one would have blamed you. But, Lord, you stayed with us. And what really helps us, Lord, to shout and to dance and to lift up our hands is that you know all about us and you still love us. You don't take anything away from us. You don't cast us aside. You know everything and you still love us. And so, God, teach us to do that as well, that we will love our neighbor, that we will care one for the other, that we will let old things pass away. God bless your name today. For your name is above every name, and we have come to testify and declare that it is because of that name that we still have a name. And so, God, we ask again that you would forgive us of our sins and have mercy on us. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. Again, we're going to lift up some learning today that I believe it's going to help us. I'm so thankful to God that he gave us today and that we can do something with it. Amen. Amen. Don't want to waste the day. Want to do something with it. All right. Let's go to get started. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, for those of you who weren't with us last week, and that may be only a small number of you, but just want to give you, again, the seven things that we're building on that we don't want to do. And I want to remind you that of all the options you may take with God, quitting is not the one. Whatever you do, don't quit. Paul told the church in Ephesus when he told them about putting on the whole armor of God, he said that there was one thing. He didn't say one thing, but what he says in that delivery is, and it's around the last few verses there, he says, stand your ground. Amen. Some of you, most of y'all look like y'all were good children, but there's a game we used to play back home when things went bad called Baddest Man Hit My Hand. You know, and we'd draw a line and say, Baddest Man crossed the line. You know, all that kind of stuff. But you stood your ground, you know. And if there's anything the church and its believers, not just followers, but believers, and we're going to talk about that a little further down in this lesson of church empowerment, because that's what we're trying to do. We're really, my focus is to re-empower the church, or at least bring us back to the empowerment that was ours. There's a... Some of you men may know it. Some of you ladies may even know it. There's a product they sell in the auto parts store when your car starts to lose power and runs a little sluggish, it's called Restore. It comes in a can, and it depends on what size engine you have. If you have a four-cylinder, can's about like this. You have a six-cylinder, and then you have an eight-cylinder. But you pour that in there, and on the can it tells you it renews valve life, it strengthens this, that, and it's supposed to bring the car back to its original design so you can feel the power again. Amen? And I think that what has happened to us is we've lost some of our power, and we need to be reinvigorated. We need to get our power back. And so one of the things we really need to understand is there is a difference between being a believer and just a follower. Amen. I think that we have the opportunity now to again bring the church back to its glory. The church going to be all right. God's church going to be all right. It's the local church that we're really concerned about, but the heaven church is going to be fine. And the Lord says that. He says, you know, I'm coming back for a church, and he's going to find one. Our issue is, will we be one of them? And will we have done the things that we need to do to be that, you know? And so it's important for us to understand that you can't quit. You gotta find a reason to keep going. In every opportunity of life, in every situation, every scenario of life, there is a point where you want to quit. You know, some of you have probably quit more than one or two jobs. Some of you probably had two or three bad relationships. You've gotten out of organizations that you thought were going to be the one. You know, some of us long to be a part of a certain thing. You know, we saw it in our aunt or uncle or somebody was in a certain fraternity or a certain sorority, and we said, "Oh, I want to be one of those." I think the Masons have a little advertisement that some of the brothers have on the back of their car to be one, ask one. You know, and so we wanted to be, and then we got in that and found ourselves saying, man, please, you know. And so we can't let that happen in the church. Trust me, I was just talking to Brother McKenzie about this in conference this year, only a few days ago. A whole lot of preachers are scratching their head trying to figure out what in the world is happening to my church. People just walking away. And if you find yourself in that state of mind, just stop right there. And before you get any further into that craziness, stop and ask God to help you. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. And don't ever miss out on the opportunity to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says to you. He says, I'm going to send you some help. That means you're going to need some help, doesn't it? You know why they make tow trucks, don't you? Huh? Because cars break down. They don't make tow trucks. Somebody invented a tow truck when they realized, you know, these things break down. That's why they have roadside service, because people break down. Everything that has been created was created because there's a need. Well, God is smarter than man. If men can figure out a way to help you, don't you think God knows how to help you? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. So let the Holy Spirit help you when you get to those frustrated. And trust me, frustration is going to come to everybody. Every person that's ever done anything of any value is going to get frustrated. And some of you sitting here right now looking at me, nodding very reverently and even thinking to yourself, man, Pastor Show, right. If you've ever done anything that matters and it's not working like you thought it was going to work, or you feel undervalued, or you feel used, you feel whatever you feel, as the new saying goes, you up in your feelings, it's because it matters, but you're going to get frustrated. Amen. How many of you have ever wrote your first line of your resignation? How many of you have ever started planning when I leave here? How many of you have ever thought to yourself, I should have never got talked into this one? It's frustration. And so what you have to realize is you got help. How many of you have ever had to say to yourself, had it said to you, or have said to somebody, I would have helped you. Why didn't you tell me? Anybody ever had that happen? No, y'all don't do nothing? Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, you you meant it. Now, you can always tell when that's not genuine. You can tell when people say, all I had to do was ask, and you look at them and go, you just ought to stop. You don't want to call him a liar, but you give him the liar look. And that's what's happening to the church. And so, again, let's look at seven things that we can't let happen to us. First thing we can't do, and we're going to go a little faster. I'm sorry. I was back there talking to Deacon McKinley. I forgot what time it was. First thing we don't want to do is resign. We got to make sure that we have ourselves girded enough, wise enough, not to fall for that trick. The devil wants you to quit. That's what he's trying to get Jesus to do. Jesus comes out the desert, you know, out of the wilderness, rather, and the first thing Satan wants him to do is quit. He's trying to make Jesus think he's got abandonment issues. Your father left you in there 40 long days. He should have been came and got you. You know, stuff like that. How many of you ever been trying to get persuaded to quit by folk who already quit or don't understand the value of what you do? If I was you, I would. You don't even do nothing. You're trying to get me to quit a job and you don't have a job. You're trying to get me to leave the church and you don't go to church. Come on, talk back to me. And you have to realize that. Who are you to give me advice? You can't resign. The second thing, and this one was critical, is that you cannot run away. Where are you going to hide at? How do you leave God? Slip out the back, Jack? Make a new plan stand? Don't need to be coy. No, you can't leave God. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. No, it's not, because they're going to find you. They're going to hire a detective and come. You know, you can't leave God. You can't run away. Where you going? He's everywhere. And God will wear your conscience out. Surely the Lord was in this place. You can't run away. The third thing, and again, this is critical. There's no need in you getting involved in a revolution against God, a revolt. You can't, no need in doing it. Jeremiah said, I ain't going to talk about him no more. And he didn't say no more. He said no more. Like M-O-E. I know grammatically that's horrible, but that's what Jeremiah said. I was with him. I saw him. You can't revolt. How you going to beat God? Your army ain't even close to being strong enough. You and your partners and all your crew, you can't whoop God. No need of getting involved in a revolt. There's no revolt. You might as well sit down, get yourself together, and get back out there. The fourth thing is you can't renege. You promised God some things. How many of you ever made God a promise? Let me see your hands. Uh-huh. How many of you didn't keep all of your promise? See, I'm talking to y'all. You can't renege. How would your life be, Jess, if God reneged on you? How would your life be, preacher? You wouldn't have one, would you? How about you, Audrey, if God reneged on you? No, you can't renege. And all you bidwist players, I know y'all at the card table now. You can't help yourself. As soon as I said renege, that's where you went. But you know what that means. And you know what happens if you get caught. That's how many books? Yeah, you get caught reneging, you got to give up them books. And they'll go back and say, well, I want to look at that one right there. You know, that's the rule. If you call it, you got to know which one you're looking at. You pick the wrong one, then we get your books. I ain't going through all seven of these. We need to make seven. We bid seven. So you can't renege. You don't want nobody to break a promise on you. How many of you ever had to go back to a store or to an organization because their product failed and you wanted to enforce the warranty or guarantee? And you wanted them to do what? Keep their word. Walmart used to be one of the easiest places in the world to take stuff back. They done got a little slick now. They done throw that 90-day thing on you. So you better go back on day 89. You got them if you go back on day 89 because you can tell them, no, that said 90 days. I counted them. But you don't want to renege on God. You promised God some stuff. How are you going to live if he changes his mind about you? And you know we've given him just cause, haven't we now? We've all given God a reason to say, but he don't do it. And you shouldn't do it either. You got to keep your promises. Shots fired. Everybody get your stuff ready. What was that? I didn't do it. I'm going to tell you that right now. Maybe that was the Lord firing one over our bow, saying, okay, just let y'all know I'm watching. that's that warning. You can't renege. And then the fifth thing, and this is critical, you can't renounce God. You can't do that. And people do it. They become atheists. They become reprobates. Sound do that church thing no more, please. Right, okay. Okay, don't renounce God. Then, six, you can't reject God. You know, you're going to have to deal with what you have to deal with. And you do know that there is a thing called wrath. There is a thing called justice. Yeah, and God's in charge of all that. And then, of course, last thing I said is you can't retire. You really can't. This be thou faithful even unto death. And even if you get old, you're an old saint. That's how we got that term, old saints. You know, everybody ain't no spring chicken. Everybody ain't young and full of vigor. We get old, and you can't retire on God. Some of you who work on jobs, you're looking forward to the day you retire. But it is now known that when you retire, you got to go to work again. Amen. How many of you have a 401k? And it goes up and down, and you say to yourself, man, I was going to leave this year, but I better stay one more. You know, you got to get those good build-up years, you know. And so you don't get to retire. You got to serve God till you die. Now, here's the counter thing we want to be doing. The first thing, those are seven things that we don't want to do. And there's some more. We'll add some pieces down the road. But here's the seven things that you really want to be doing. The first one is one of the best ones you can do. Not that these other six won't be any value, but the first one is a great one. And that is, you ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be rejoicing. Let's look at what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 1, and here's what he says. Go down to verse 13. Verse 13 says this: so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. You do know that of all the wonderful things God has done in your life now, they will pale in comparison to that day. Y'all ain't shaking y'all head like I thought you would. I mean, of all the wonderful things, think of three wonderful things God has done in your life, and you can write them off. Because when the Lord comes back and says, come with me, that's going to change everything. He says, you know what you ought to be doing? Looking forward. How many of y'all ever had something wonderful happen? You're going on a cruise, maybe, or you're going to a foreign place, or something wonderful. Just close your eyes and think of something wonderful. Now, if you ain't got nothing wonderful to think about, lean over and ask your neighbor, can I share you something wonderful? Now, doesn't it make you feel kind of, How many of you think about going somewhere? You know, these two here, they getting married in a little while. I bet they both thought the same thing. They probably nudged each other and go, you thinking what I'm thinking? You know, think of that. September's coming. Christmas is coming. How many of y'all got a birthday close by? Think about that. You know, what you want. You know, it's your party. Cry if you want to. Think about something wonderful. And you look forward to it, don't you? How many of you got stuff circled on your calendar? Last day of this, first day of that. It'll be over then. You know, my divorce going to be final. You know, my boss leaving. They're going to take this cast off. I'm going back to drinking. I don't know, something. Whatever you need to get that little feeling, you know. And so he said, here's what the church ought to do. First thing you got to do, now remember this, if you change the way you think, you change the way you live. So what he says is, you got to think clearly. Uncloud your mind. How many of you know that you ought to have a getaway in your mind? Place where you can go and you're free. Get away. You need to have a place when you close your eyes, it's all right now. How many of you ever had that dream that you try to recapture because somebody woke you up too early? You figure if you go back to sleep right quick, you can pick up where you left off. Don't never happen. Never happen. Next thing you wind up dreaming is somebody shooting you or you're falling off a cliff or something. But you got to have a mind. You got to think clearly. Remember, we've said this to you 100 times. When you change the way you think, you are not me. People blaming me. You know, Deacon Davidson and I were just talking about this. I was telling about the churches and what pastors are talking about. People blaming the pastor for poor thinking. You know, that preacher, I don't like that. No. You need to change the way you think. I can't make you change nothing. I stand up here and walk back and forth. I can try everything I know to try. But until you do it, it ain't going to never get done. If you're still ignorant in the church, that's your fault. If you can't still feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and you've been going to church all them next Sunday, that's your fault. You've got to change the way you think. I can't change how you think. I can't stealth it in you. I can't push it down and get it out of you. I can't bathe you in oil. I can't chant nothing over you. You still control your mind. And the day that comes when you can't control your mind, there's nothing anybody can do. Any of y'all ever been around someone who has Alzheimer's or dementia or any mind? And you can pray as much as you want, but that day is gone. And they struggle too. It's a difficult place to be. How many of you ever had a situation where you drew a blank? It's something you know, and you can't. Your hard drive is messed up. Your gigabytes ain't gigging. And you send that thing, and then how many of you start doing this? You know, that's called abuse, you know. Or you look up at the sky. You start calling on the name of the Lord. Come on, Jesus. Now, I know, you in DMV and you got to get your driver's license. You need that job. You need that. You know your promotion hinges on passing this certification or keeping your job. And you sit there and you know you studied the book. And my grandfather used to say from kibble to kibble. And you standing and you can't get it. The person next to you, how many of you remember this day? Back in high school, maybe, later years of high school, when they get out, they pass out the test. And you know you're the smartest person in the room, and people start going and turn theirs in before you. You start thinking, wait a minute, how they beat me finish? And then you try to speed up a little bit. And next thing you know, you're the last one still working. You can't control their mind. They can't control yours. You're taking the same test, but it's individuals who are doing the thinking. He says you got to think clearly. One of the greatest tricks of the devil is to mess with your mind. What's the first thing he did to Eve? Got in her head. Well, you know the Lord. And she couldn't think clearly. She fell for it. How many of you ever fell for it? What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, beware of the wiles of the devil. He's cunning. How many of you ever had somebody play a trick on you? How many ever been taken, duped, fooled, shammed, scammed, skimmed, slimmed and trimmed? Because somebody, what, they got you. How many ever bought something that you didn't intend to buy, but that salesperson talked you into it? Kirby, Amway, Tupperware. What's that other one? Thank you. They got Susan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that jewelry lady? Mary Kay? Avon? Oh, God, Avon was a big thing one time, boy. When the Avon lady came, everybody just fell down and said, just sell me something. Get it over with. I'm going to buy something. But it's in my commercials. How many of y'all watch commercials and say, oh, I'm going to try that? You're getting in your head. You buy it and you go, this stuff ain't working. And then the next commercial, you go, oh, that's a better one. They're new and improved. He says, you got to think clearly. That's why we do this. We're trying to get you to think clearly. We're trying to give you an opportunity. Remember I said, you've got to understand there's a definite difference between the believer and a follower. The believer takes the word of God, utilizes that as their tool. See, but the Lord said, I told you long years ago, if there's one thing I use with God all the time, it's simply this, Lord, you said. I can't explain God. Y'all remember Job? If you ever want to read an interesting thing, read Job and start right about chapter 38 when God starts saying, okay, where were you? Since you know so much, Job, since you think you got this figured out, you explain to me. And Job submits and said, I spoke foolishly. He said, I can't think like that. And what I'm trying to get you to understand is, You don't have to explain God. You just ought to try to understand him. And you may not always understand him, but don't ever give up on trusting him. Try him. He said, try me and see. And what you need to understand is, in order to think clearly, you need to have that foundation, the Word of God. We ain't going to heaven off no music. We ain't going to heaven because we got a bigger church than the church around the corner. We ain't going to heaven because we got more folk in our church. We ain't going to get there because we got more money. We definitely don't have more money. We can work on it, though. But we're going to get to heaven because we have the knowledge of God. And he says, think clear. Then he says, again, look forward. And when you start looking forward, you know what you start doing when you look forward? And this will bless you right here. The more you look forward, the more things you leave behind. You want to get out of that funk? You want to get out of that bad state of mind? You want to get over some bad feelings? Keep looking forward. Don't worry about it no more. Let it go. Just like Elsa said. Which one was doing the singing? Elsa or the other one? What the other one name is? Anna. Anna was doing the singing, right? Which one was the bad one with the frozen hand? Thank you. So Anna was telling, let it go. And you touch me like that again, we're going to probably, no, she didn't say that. You got to understand something. The Word of God is your tool. It's your tool. Use that. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I need some instruction. How many of you ever bought something, thought you knew what you were doing, and didn't read the instruction? And then when it was lopsided, you go, now something ain't right here. And you went back and realized you didn't put that spacer in there. Or you wind up with more parts left over and say, now, why did they give me all these extra pieces? They didn't give you no extra pieces. You didn't, you know, and then when it fall apart, you're like, that old raggedy thing. You didn't put it together right. You didn't want to be, and so it is. If your life is raggedy, unbalanced, you can't figure out why it's always you, you might ought to read the instructions. You know, God says some really wonderful things to you if you'll just read it. How many of you ever got a letter from somebody and assumed that you knew what was in the letter, didn't read it, and already made an opinion about the letter? Oh, I know what this is. I did that one time. SunTrust, me and SunTrust, we get along now better. But me and SunTrust was having a problem one time. You know, my mortgage rate was supposed to be this, and they told me it was that. I said, oh, no. Mm-mm. So I said, okay, that's right. I got something for y'all. Well, you can't beat SunTrust, especially when they hold a note on your house. So, I said, okay, forget it. So a letter came from SunTrust. I said, I know what this is. Tossed it. 7 months go by. I knew what it was. I know what that is. Lady called me. She said, 800 number. Mm-hmm. I missed most of them. Ignored them for a while. So finally, they figured we got to get in touch with them. They called me from the local branch. Mr. Mitchell, this is Daisy Duke at SunTrust Bank. I said, go ahead, Daisy. This is Cletus. She said, Mr. Mitchell, several months ago, we sent you a letter containing a check, and it hadn't been processed yet, and we were wondering if you ever got it. I said, a check? She said, it's for a substantial amount, so we were kind of wondering, if we need to reissue that check. I said, when was that? She said, about several something. I said, ooh. And good thing I keep me a little file. Man, I got in that file and listen, bo diddly, here we come. I pulled that thing out and ripped it open and sure enough, good God from Zion. Because I thought I knew what it was. I didn't tell Miss Mitchell about it because she'd want a piece of it. I signed her name to it just as pretty as I could. Did I ever tell you about that check? No? Well, look at here. Confession is good for the saints. But listen, and I did tell her. And you heard what she said, though. I got a bank card. Yeah. If it goes in, she'll figure out a way to get it out. There ain't no problem with that. But my point is this. You can't assume. Read that letter. Read what God is saying to you. Even when you messed up, read it. So there's some redemption in there. I have found that the times when I thought God was maddest at me, if I read that letter, I found a way that he said, it's all right. I still love him. Said I wasn't going to say his name anymore. But it was like fire. Read that letter so you can look forward to the special things. No, watch this. He says, obey God. Verse 14. Obey God because you're his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better back then. How many of you can testify that you didn't know any better back then? Amen. All of us can, can't we? Lord, I would. Ooh, how many of you have ever in your praise and meditation time said to God, Lord, if I had known back then what I know now. God, if I had known I was going to feel like this, I'd have came. Listen, come on now. He said, you didn't know any better. And that's why we forgive people. That's why we don't hold people former sins against them. Even when they've sinned against us, even when they've offended us. Well, all sin is really against God. But even when they've done stuff to us, we say he ain't know no better. How many of you know that when you were a child, you did childish things? Okay, only three of us, me, you, and Deacon McKenzie. Everybody else sitting there like, no, I ain't no good. Come on, talk to me. And that's why we don't hold it against you. When you used to do things, when you said things, when you ran away, how many of y'all remember running away? You ain't making no further than the corner problem. Yeah, and ran away and went to another relative house. That is not real running away. When you really run away, you got to go at least six counties over and change your name. And none of y'all that bad. Well, that song, Runaway Child, Running Wild, better go back home where you belong. Get lost in a real big city. Okay, that's it. So he said, listen, you didn't know any better. And God's not going to hold that against you. You know, can I tell you some more good news? No matter what you have done, when you did it, God ain't mad at you. God ain't sitting there going, here she come again. Ooh, no. It's over. You didn't know any better. And sometimes, even when you did know better, you just didn't do better. How many are guilty of that one? You knew better, you just didn't do better. Sean, we waiting on you. Thank you. Yeah. He said, listen, that's how you get your joy back. Remember, we told you what Paul said to the church of Philippi, you know, Philippians 3 and 1. He said, listen, brothers and sisters, no matter what happens, rejoice. Hard times are coming. You do know that? You know, all of us going to have some hard times. All of us going to have some go sit down and you better think. You're going to cry. You're going to feel some kind of way. Everything ain't going to go your way. There's not a verse in scripture. Don't let no preacher, prophet, elder, overseer, bishop tell you that. That because you're so faithful to God that everything's going to go your way. That's a lie. Jesus proves that. Jesus looked at Judas and said, whatever you got to do, you go ahead and do it and do it quickly. Storms are coming. How many know storms are coming? Anybody ever been outside on a pretty day and all of a sudden it started raining? Or started, you look and saw the clouds and go, oh boy. That's one of my favorite movies, Open Range. An old boss and Charlie out there on their horses looking across the prairie. And they look and say, it's going to be a good one. So we better bed them down. Put your tent up now before it starts. You do know you can put your tent up a whole lot better before it rains. Anybody ever been in the midst of a storm trying to roll the windows up in the car, look outside and notice the windows down and go, oh Lord, and it's already raining? You can't find the key. Your flip-flops slip off your foot. It's mud. Then you go like this. You know, if you'd have let those windows up, see, you thought it was going to be a pretty day all day. And your neighbor called you and said, hey, Jess, you home? Mm-hmm. Child, you better get outside. It's raining. Your window's down. Oh, Father, hallelujah, Jesus. You fall down a step going because you're in a hurry. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if you do that when it ain't raining. You do know that you are better prepared to navigate in the storm before the storm if you practice navigation. There's some things you do. He said, listen, what you got to learn how to do is stay happy. What them little seven dwarfs say? They were union workers, AFL-CIO. You got to whistle while you work. How many of you ever found out that if you go ahead and get it done, you get it done? How many of you ever had to tell yourself, I might as well get this over with, and I might as well change my attitude? How many remember this one? When you've been in trouble, mama said, you better fix your face. And you realize once you fix your face, you kind of do a little better with that thing, don't you? Especially when she's standing looking at you. You look at me like that? No, ma'am. I was just having a stomach ache. I just wasn't feeling well. This ain't got nothing to do with you. You got to learn, listen, he says, whatever happens, stay happy. What did Nehemiah teach us? Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many ever had that kind of joy? You can't even explain it yourself. It's the Lord working. Let him work. Let him work. And then he says this. He says, I like this. He says, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. Listen, holiness is happiness. Amen. And I'm not talking about sanctified, where you got to wear a certain color and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about everyday living. May God be glorified. Whatever happens, to God be the glory. You're going to be happy. People look at you and say, I don't understand. You lost your job and you still smile. Yeah, I'm all right. I didn't come here with no job. A whole lot of us didn't come with one and still ain't got one. Amen. I didn't come. Your husband left you or your wife left you or blah, blah, blah. I didn't come here with them. I'm all right. Me and the Lord are going to be fine. And you can't just say it. You got to live it. Don't be no false prophet in your own life. When you're hurting, say you're hurting. There's not a biblical reference that tells you you can't be honest with God about how you feel. And don't let nobody fool you and try to make you think that your holiness is going to be a barrier against the real emotions or real mental state that you're in. That is not how God operates. That's why Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. I know you're hurting. That's why he tells you that I won't leave you. How many ever had somebody significant just walk out of your life? Nobody? Oh, y'all blessed then. Oh, one of y'all. Thank you, Jess. In your case, we understand exactly what was going on. We'll talk about that later. I don't have but a few minutes to get into it with you. But knowing what we know now, all of us are saying, bless that brother that the Lord showed him a way of escape. Okay, thank you. You make an appointment. But it's critical for us to understand that what is happening to us shouldn't take our joy. You know, things are going to happen to us. But he said, listen, I'm telling you, whatever happens, find your happy place. That's God. And it doesn't have to be false, because it can be real for you. When you know the joy of the Lord, when you know, like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. You can spend the rest of your life in one verse on Psalm 23 and have an answer to everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. And you can put all of your shall not. I shall not cry too long. I shall not suffer long. I shall not feel sorry for myself. You just put them in there and they fit. I shall not be moved. I shall not resign. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not quit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not revoke. Put them in there. And you know what God will say? You're talking right now, baby. That's what I miss about the old church. Whenever the preacher used to say something, somebody let him know. You're saying something now, Reverend. I need a few of those around here. Thank you, Elizabeth. Amen. You know, the fact of the matter is this. Some of us let the devil get to you. If the devil knows he can get to you early, he's going to come often. Make him work. Look at him and tell him, you don't get me with that one. I'm far too mature for that one. The Lord is. I may not be, but the Lord is. You know the Lord is your very present help in a time of trouble. You know the Lord is your supply. You know the Lord is your refuge. I may not be able to hide myself, but I know somebody who can hide me. I may not be able to get me out of this, but I know somebody who can. The Lord is. That's what you need to tell the devil more often. Tell your friends that. When the doctor start talking crazy and you sitting there thinking to yourself, you just tell him what the Lord is. Amen. When you lay in there and your mind start playing tricks on you, the Lord is. And get happy. You didn't learn how to dance when ain't no music playing. You need to learn how to sing in your own voice. Don't be trying to be Mahalia Jackson or B.B. Winans or C.C. Sing in your voice. Let God hear from you. Amen. I look on Facebook and people are always testifying behind somebody else's song. What's your song? Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. That means you should be making your own CD. Not for public trick. Just keep it to yourself. Because you make one the way you sing, anybody going to buy that. But God will hear it. He said, listen, don't you get confused about your joy. The second thing, let's look at what he says in Luke 13. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read to you. He said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, there's going to come a day when people who have gone through are going to finally realize they're getting through. It's going to be a whole lot of crying. It happens. You don't have to be, listen, and what's happening to you is not because God has abandoned you or don't love you no more. Life happens. But you know what? He said, I'm here. I'm here. How many have ever had God come to your rescue like that? You thought nobody cared. You thought the phone wasn't going to ring no more. You thought you'd never open your curtains again. And you heard him say, I'm here. Can I tell you something? Don't ever let life get so crowded and so confused and so calamitous that you forget that he's there. Because he never leaves. I'm all by myself. I ain't got nobody. God is trying to tap me on your shoulder. You keep going. He said, I'm here. What are you talking about? There was a time in my life when I walked all by myself. God said, are you tripping? You ain't never been that strong. You do know that admitting you're weak is an opportunity for ministry. Paul said, when I finally admitted I was weak, I found out where my strength was. It was in the Lord. That's why you got to stop letting people dictate your life. You ain't got to beg nobody not to leave. You ain't got to beg them to stay either. You ain't got to beg them to do nothing for you. When folks start talking sharp to you like that, tell them, well, go right ahead. Do your thing, boo. Me and the Lord are going to be all right. When they start, oh, there you go, that Jesus stuff. Mm-hmm. Because you better thank Jesus on your way out that I knew him before, because if I'd have done some stuff the devil told me, I'd be serving time right now. You better thank Jesus he walks with me and talks with me, because you do know I had a case before. Amen. How many of y'all thank Jesus that you didn't do what you... Yeah. Lord, thank you. And you tell your partner, you better thank God I know him too. Matter of fact, me and you ought to start a praise ministry. Thank God for Jesus. I'm leaving. You gone? Better ask God to give you traveling mercy. Because you do know he gave you living mercy when you was with me. Many night I stood over you and said to myself, Lord, this ain't right. Lord told me to put that butcher knife back. You don't know? Amen. Oh, y'all in church now, ain't you? Okay, I see what I need to be working on. So y'all need some work. All right, go on and testify. I'll be here waiting on y'all. Ms. Mitchell, you didn't have no business getting involved in none of that. I just realized what I saw. I'm not happy. Okay, so he says, you got to remember. He said, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. There are going to be moments when you're crying, when you're hurting. But don't forget, you still have joy. After all I've been through, I still got joy. Amen. So you got to keep rejoicing. Deuteronomy says this. You will rejoice. You will rejoice. You know what? That's an order. How many have had to do that for somebody? Had to go over there and say, listen, come on, we going. You're going to get up out of here today. Let me sit a little while longer. You know. Here, put this wig on and let's go. Amen. You ain't going out and you looking like that. Put this hairpiece on. And, you know, you haven't you ever had to do that for a friend? You had to bring them out. You said, come on now. I know you ain't going to never get over it. We just got to learn how to get through it. And don't let nobody ever tell you that by now you ought to be over. No, it's not so much about over. It's about how to get through it. There are some things in life that you will never get over. And don't let nobody rush you like that. I'm never going to stop missing my father. Every time I see, I got a picture of him in my office. Every time I go downstairs, he's looking right there at me. He don't talk or nothing. My sister's version, that's different. But, you know, I see him, you know. And I miss him. I think about him, you know. I don't hear nothing from him. I ain't one of them kind of people. If that's what you need in your family, you go ahead. But I believe dead is dead. I'm pretty sure about that. Amen. Miss Mitchell, when I die, you going to do whatever you're going to do. I ain't walking around the house bothering nobody. I'm probably going to be trying to find my way into glory. It might be a little cloudy for me at first. I'll be reminded in the Lord that I did do something. But my point is this. I mean, nobody should ever tell you about who you should get over. Even some of us felt no way about a job, a toy, or something. You just got to get through it. That's why God said this. Take one day at a time. He said, yesterday's got enough stuff. Leave that stuff there. When you leave stuff, again, if you look forward, you leave most stuff behind. But he said, listen, you will rejoice. When you have trusted God, rejoicing is going to come. And he says this, Job says, don't be afraid, people. Be glad now and rejoice. Amen. That's good. Some of you, fear keeps you from joy. Fear keeps you from moving on. Joel said, no, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, now. Get now in your head, because now sets up next. If you don't do right now, you're going to mess up your next. It's called preparation. How many of you ever learned that? You've learned that if you know what you should have did now, messed up next. You say to yourself, man, if I'd have did, how many of y'all ever had that inkling, that feeling, that notion, and you didn't follow up on it? You say, man, if I'd have bought that stock in Apple, man, now I'd be. How many of y'all remember days like that? Y'all never had that happen? Man, if I would have bought into that thing, what was I thinking? It messed up your necks, didn't it? You start thinking, you say, man, I could have been Bill Gates Jr. Amen. What you're doing right now, your mind right now is setting you up for a greater next or regret your next. How you think about God, how you trust God in this moment. It's easy to trust God during pristine conditions. But storms are coming, honey. Somebody's going to leave. Somebody's going to die. There's going to be some job layoffs. There are going to be some issues come up in marriages and family. You know, when grandma used to say, whatever you do to get them, that's what you got to do to keep them. Trust me, homie, don't work too hard right now. Don't overdo it. Don't be bringing flowers and candy and all that now. Because 2 years from now, she's going to go, what happened? Every Friday, you was at my job with, hey, Hannah. No, don't, easy. Glide into that thing, man. Yes. You know. But now, everything you do now, how you study God now, is going to dictate your next. How you prepare now. It's going to dictate how you perform next. Study to show yourself approved. In other words, there's going to be a test. There's going to be a moment when God's going to help you know what you don't know and help you know that what you know is going to help you get through what you do next. That's why we can't be slack now. That's why he said, listen, you got to prepare. You got to count the cost. You got to think about this and rejoice. Just be happy, man. You know what happens when you're happy? Happiness comes alongside you. Don't nobody, you know, grandma said it and grandma right. Misery loves company. You get around there sulking, next thing you know, you got a hateful wives club going. Or a disgruntled deacons club. Yeah, all us mad together, come on. And people look at you and say, man, what's wrong, man? And they go, you know what, you right. And then they join. Next thing you know, it's 25 of y'all around here protesting. Got signs and everything, and it's all because people saw your misery and they joined you. Rather than being happy. If you're happy, man, y'all be laughing all the time. Everybody say, y'all got a glee club, a joyous group, and this, man, I'm going to be a part of them. Look at them guys, man, they're always happy. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord. Because I know how to rejoice. How many of you know people who just know how to party? How come all y'all hand went up so fast? That's why y'all ain't in church all the time. Y'all be out party. You know, there's certain people, you know, when they say they're going to have, you say, oh, I'm going to that because I know that's going to be something. They sure know how to get down over there. Hey, man, come on, talk back to me. You know the get down people. Say, man, they know how to do, man. They know how to set it off. I'm going. Why? Because they have joy. You know, some of y'all going to need to repent on this side, right here. When the Lord come, everybody who don't want to go like that better run over here. Don't get caught in the middle. Amen. My time just about up. He says, you got to rejoice now. Let's go to Psalm 5 for a second. Let me show you this and we're going to stop. I'm going to have to synchronize my watches again. One says it's almost 11 o'clock. The other one says it's 9:45. Psalm 5, old school stuff. Am I helping you a little bit? Okay. Psalm 5. Everybody there? Come down to verse 11. Watch what he says. He said, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Protect them so all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord, surrounding them with your shield of love. Man, look at here. That's what God said he'll do. Surrounding them with a shield of love. How many of you have a problem telling folk you love them? Nobody? All right, look at three people and tell them I love you. I love you. I love you too. Amen. Now, did anybody feel like running away or anything like that? Anybody feel like your marriage was in jeopardy or somebody trying to take your man? No. Because we know what spirit we're saying that in. It's in the spirit of God. And anybody felt better when somebody said, I notice how y'all start smiling and stuff. See? And it depends on who said it to you. As to the level of genuineness that you perceive. Most of y'all didn't write it off as a fraud among anybody. You pretty much looked at it and went, you know, okay. That's what God is doing all the time. God is surrounding you with a shield of love. God is protecting you so that your joy will be filled. God is bringing to your remembrance the wonderful things he's done. That's why Grandma was right when she said, every time I think about the goodness. You know what she's saying? I ain't going to worry about that bad stuff. It's enough bad stuff. Listen, you, everybody in this room, even the little bitty ones, well, hello, Bella, how are you? Where your peoples at? The baby done came all the way from New York because she missed us. Amen. Grandma was telling you this. Don't let that bad stuff get in your head, honey. Every time I think about, you know what? When you're thinking about the goodness, you're weeding out the bad. You cloud your mind with good stuff. And you don't have that stuff to worry about no more. How many ever had somebody come and bring up some stuff? You said, look, I let that go a long time ago. Don't even bring that up. No, And that hand go to shaking. That's when that Holy Ghost thing come. And you know when the hand go to shaking, your feet need to start moving because somebody been to get this. I used to tell my soldiers, now that I unloaded it up, I got to use it. I can't leave this weapon cocked. I got to hit somebody. You got to realize something. God gave you instructions on everything in life. Paul told you, what shall we say unto these things? There you go. And he told you what to say. What did he tell you to say? If God be for us. That's what your answer is. Nudge your neighbor and tell them you had the answer all the time. You just like Dorothy. You done spent all this episode. That movie should have been 30 seconds long. Dorothy should have woke up, looked around, and said, there's no place like home. I'm leaving here. You done gone all over Oz when you could have been gone. That's what Glinda told her. She said, baby, you could have. Y'all didn't hear that in the movie? What did that lady tell her? She said, baby, you could have been gone. You had the answer all the time. And Toto looked up at her and said, I told you. Pay attention to the class. You can do it. Listen, I'm done. That's a movie, but here's your reality. You've had the answer all the time. He never left you. He never forsake you. He told you, when you need me, I'm here. He said, I'm not going to ever. No, listen, poverty, God ain't going nowhere. Sickness, God ain't going nowhere. No matter what happens, I'll have God. Y'all ain't getting it. That's why you always ought to be happy. You got joy. You got a God who says to you in a personal way, I'm yours. He didn't say, I'm not going to lead a church. He didn't say, I'm not going to lead the ministers. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I will never leave you, and I won't forsake you. You can mess up. You can act crazy. You can resign. You can run. You can revolt. You can renege. I am not leaving you. And I'm not taking my hands off you. I'm not letting you go. Because I know you don't know how to cross the street. You don't know how to protect yourself. Come on, how many know God kept you? Lord, be a fence all around me every day. God has been a shelter over you, wings that cover you. He said, you don't know nothing about taking care of yourself. You're vulnerable. If the devil ever catch you outside without me, he gonna kill you. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he with me. You better look around and see. You think I'm by myself if you want to. God is with me. That's why I'm happy. You ought to make people question your happiness because you're so happy. They'll say, listen, I need to ask you something. You're always over there grinning like an old Cheshire cat. You're